Hello, welcome to another episode of the Shubo Talks podcast. Hope you all are well. Hope everyone is doing great. On this episode, I'm going to talk about a book I read recently. This book is called No More Mr. Nice Guy by Robert Glover. I came across this book when I was listening to Ali Abdaal's video on four books that changed his life. And his breakdown of this book actually sparked my curiosity that led me to a rabbit hole of reading the book and just learning more about myself and learning more about men and why we behave the way we behave. And I feel this book is one of the most important books I've read so far in my life. I'd like to share some of the things I learned from this book and things that you guys can also take away and learn as well to make sure you're a better man for yourself, better man for your family, and a better man for your relationship. So let's get into it. This book, like I said, is called No More Mr. Nice Guy. First person you ask, who is a nice guy or what classifies a nice guy? Nice guys are people that are good and do everything right. So they believe that if they do everything right or they're good, they will have a problem-free life. This is basically an attempt to hide stuff about themselves and also make themselves look perfect. They believe that if they hide all their flaws and the things that make them look bad, and they will do things that give people the impression that, okay, maybe this person is generous, this person is helpful, and this person is peaceful, they will have a problem-free life. So nice guys are people that just try to do everything right, hide their flaws, try to be generous, generally be there for people, and just overall be nice, basically. In this book, he also touched upon the characteristics of a nice guy. Obviously, there are things that are unique, things that are different, but like he gave like a general characteristic list of what makes a nice guy. So the first one is nice guys are givers. They pride themselves in giving to others and providing to others, and giving in itself is not a bad thing, but it can become an issue where your sense of identity comes with giving people stuff and just letting go of yourself during that process. Nice guys also try to fix and caretake. So fixing is that they don't like dealing with the issue, but they rather just ensure you're okay. So for example, your girl tells you did something wrong. Rather than actually understanding what you did wrong, you just try to fix the issue without actually acknowledging why you did what you did and have a conversation about it. Nice guys obviously as well seek approval from other people. They want to be liked. They want people to love them because they don't really have that way of loving themselves. And they think that people loving them is the only way they can be accepted by people, accepted by the general. And also they like avoiding conflict. They don't like upsetting people. They don't like messing up with the status quo because, like I said, they're nice. And also people in a relationship that are nice guys also make their partners their emotional center. So by emotional center, I mean they're only happy when their partner is happy. If their girlfriend is sad or is just in a bad mood, they tend to be sad as well, or also start feeling sad as well, like I said. They also have a difficulty making their needs a priority. This hits home for me because growing up as a man, you don't really see yourself as being needy of having things that need to be attended to, because that's just the way the society raised us. But with this book, you will see that your needs are a priority and you actually have to make your needs something that you attend to rather than putting them in the back burner and actually focusing on the needs of other people. Now, on the surface level, all these characteristics that I named are generally not bad because, like I said, nice guys are givers. Everyone loves a cheerful giver. Everyone loves someone to be able to take care of them, fix their issues. They also love people that avoid conflict and don't break the status quo. But if you look deep into this characteristics that they have, these traits that nice guys have, you can see that it is really not a good thing. Now I'll talk about why these characteristics are generally not good and do not serve the nice guys in the long run. So for example, we said nice guys are avoid conflict. If you avoid conflict, there's one thing that you can say about that person. That person doesn't tell the truth because he doesn't want the balance of what's happening right now to be changed. So for example, I have an issue with my coworker or even my girlfriend, but because I don't want anything to happen, I want everything to go on as smoothly as it can. If she asks me a question, I say, nah, nothing is wrong. There's no issue. Don't worry. So they are actually dishonest because they try to avoid conflict and hide their mistakes. They tell people what they think they want to hear, not what they actually feel about a certain issue. So this in itself is a very, very big problem for nice guys. And nice guys are secretive because there's a lot of things you're hiding from people that you don't want them to know because you want to appear perfect. And what nice guys don't realize is that people don't fall in love with your perfections or what you want them to see. People fall in love with your genuinity, you being a genuine person, opening up and learning more about yourself, opening up to safe people and ensuring that you guys are able to connect. Nice guys are manipulative. By manipulative, you can see that nice guys don't actually head on address their needs. They always go through the back to make sure that, okay, this is how my needs are met. This is how I feel my needs could be met. So in that case, you're always conning or you're trying to get your needs met in a very, very indirect manner, I'll say. And nice guys love control. This comes because they like to avoid conflict. If there's conflict, if there's an issue, there would be some sort of like tug and pull, and there's sometimes you can't really control that. And because nice guys love control, they avoid conflict. The next thing I'll talk about now is, where do you see men that are called nice guys? And reading the book made me realize that it comes from being a child. And what I really learned here is that children are helpless and they are also ego-centered. So by helpless, then children need their needs to be addressed in a timely manner. And ego-centered is that they believe that they are the cause, that is, they are the center of the universe and everything revolves around them. So if, for example, a child is crying, I need something, if it's not addressed in a timely manner, he or she inherently thinks that he or she is the problem and starts to behave like a child, starts crying, starts nagging. And this notion tends to continue. As we know, life is not perfect. Your needs are always not going to be met at a timely manner. Parents have other things they are doing. Family has other things they are doing. People have other things they are doing as well. But as nice men grow up, they realize that their needs not being met means they are bad. So they are bad children. They take this inherent and they continue this cycle, this vicious cycle of being a nice guy, hiding their needs, doing things that will make people like them because they think, if they're needy, I won't be liked, I won't be loved, I don't deserve love, and things like that. And doing this creates an abandonment, which turns into toxic shame. And this toxic shame, like I said, makes the nice guy believe that he is bad and causing him to camouflage and create a false sense of self. So they become a fake person just to make sure everything is working and to please the people that they think needs pleasing, basically. Due to this toxic shame, nice guys have developed survival mechanisms to shield them and their ego. So to try and cope with this shame, try and cope with this ego, they hide their flaws and become what they think people want them to become. And because of that, they believe they will get their needs met. So it's this vicious cycle of like, okay, I'm not liked as I am. Let me do something that will make people like me. People still don't like me, so I do it more. And it's just that vicious cycle of trying to please other people, but not pleasing themselves, which is something we all know. You can't please everybody. It's always going to be a cycle of, okay, this person doesn't like what I'm doing. I do something that this person doesn't like again. It just keeps going. And nice guys don't tend to realize that and keep doing the same thing every single time. And nice guys do everything for validation, even from strangers and people they don't like, strangely. And how do they get their validation? One of the things that he mentioned in the book is that nice guy use attachments for validation. So for example, he gave in the book, there's someone named Carl, and Carl really prides himself on being a good dad and dressing up his daughter, going to the park, getting those compliments from people because he's a good girl dad, to the extent that if he goes to the park and he doesn't get any validation from people saying, okay, he's a good dad, I like the way you dress up your dad, he tends to feel like he's worthless. So those attachments is how they seek validation from others. And he believes what makes him good is showing up up front that he's a good dad. And I know a lot of men are kind of in this way whereby, yeah, I want to be a good dad, I want to make sure that I take care of my children, I want to be a good man. But there is a fine line in realizing that you can't always use those attachments to validate you as a person, because if you don't get that compliment, what's going to happen? Does that mean you're not a good guy? Does that mean you're not sticking up for your family? Does that mean you're not sticking up for yourself? No, that's not the truth. But if they keep using those attachments as validation, money, things like that, they tend to not end well for the nice guy. And most of the things nice guys do is really for the attention of women. So it might be their mom, it might be their girlfriend, it might be it's just women. For example, if you're in a relationship, you don't want to go out, but your girlfriend is saying, oh, let's go to this nice place, let's go to this nice spot. Because you don't want to cause conflict, like I said, you don't see anything, you keep quiet, and you just go with the flow. But in your head, you know you're giving up so much to actually go to this place your girlfriend wants to go to. So if she, for example, brings up something small as, oh, babe, you didn't do the dishes today, why didn't you do the dishes? Because of the psychology of you doing what you didn't want to do and feeling like you gave up something, you don't believe she has a right to ask you to do the dishes, which is not true, because you didn't let her know that you didn't want to go. And to her, she's just telling you a simple reminder of like, oh, you do the dishes, you get shit done. But because you didn't communicate how you felt, you hold this rage, you hold this anger towards her for doing something she didn't even know she was doing. So nice guys tend to have a lot of rage, a lot of frustration, and this frustration stems because they are betraying themselves to please other people. If they don't get the validation that they think they should get, they tend to get angry at people, tend to get angry at loved ones. But at the end of the day, it's not the fault of the loved ones, it's the fault of you for not communicating what you actually wanted to do and probably even finding a resolution. And in this book, they are breaking free activities that he has created to help you actually deep dive into why you are the way you are. And answering these questions honestly and truthfully is actually one of the most freeing things you can do. In this book, he asks the question, what would you do if you didn't seek the approval of other people? I'm not even blanketing in this as a girl or a guy thing, but I feel most people live for the approval of others. Whether you want to admit it or not, you kind of feel like, I want people to love me, I want people to like me, which is fair. I mean, depending on how you do it, I don't think there's a fine line, basically. There's a fine line in seeking the approval of others. But what I would like to say is that never seek the approval of others at the detriment of yourself, because at the end of the day, you're stuck with yourself, you're stuck in your own head, you're stuck in your own thoughts, and everything is always going to be you versus you. No matter how much validation you seek from people, no matter how much love and adoration you get from people, it's always going to be you versus you. But nice guys, because of the abandonment they've had, because of the toxic shame they have, they don't even have that sort of relationship with themselves where they genuinely love themselves and genuinely put themselves first. So this causes them to look for that outside, seeking approval from other people, but that can never fill you up, no matter how much you try. And another thing that nice guys do is that they hide evidence and they hide this shame. Because of how much shame they have within themselves, or how much they think lowly about themselves, they do a lot of things that tend to push the blame to another person. So for example, I mentioned earlier that someone's girlfriend asked him to do blah, blah, blah. He did it, but he didn't want to really do it. Then that caused him to develop rage for his girlfriend. So nice guys draw an account of things that they've done for you. So for example, he might take you out, he might do this, he might do that, or he might actually just go out with his friends. But if his friends doesn't replicate that same action of like, oh, come go out with me, come chill with me, he tends to develop rage with that. And they also like to fix other people's emotions rather than fixing the issue. So for example, you tell a nice guy, oh, you did something wrong with me, they try to fix it and say, okay, if you do this, you feel okay, you feel better. But they don't actually fix the issue of, this is what you did wrong and this is how you can fix it. And they also turn table, so they shame dump. So they always look for people that are worse off than them, people that are more empty than them, and they use that to make themselves feel better about themselves by seeing someone worse than them. And nice guys also have walls that prevent people from coming too close, so they try to be perfect. I mentioned earlier that people don't really fall in love with your perfection. People fall in love with shared connections, mutual interests. That's how people actually bond and build a relationship that has a good foundation. Not even an intimate relationship, even your relationship with your friends. Your close friends are the friends that you have things that you've gone through, they know your insecurities, things that scare you. Because you guys have shared so much about each other, opening up, you guys have a very good relationship. He mentioned in this book that one thing self nice guys can do to get out of this vicious cycle is to self-approve yourself. I think that is one of the most important things a person can do in this world to help them live. So nice guys don't believe that they truly matter. They believe that the needs of other people come before their needs. They believe that what their friends think of them comes before what they actually think about themselves. But you actually need to affirm yourself. I know a lot of people say you write positive affirmations, but that shit is really important and that shit really works. So nice guys live an outside inside life. So they go outside to get the validation and they use that to fill whatever void they have inside of them. Rather, they should actually live an inside outside life where you fill your own cup and you go outside and you're confident in yourself, you're sure about yourself, and you're able to just exist in the world and be yourself rather than camouflaging and changing into what you think people want you to be. And how do you approve yourself? You have to take good care of yourself. You work out, you keep promises for yourself, you eat out, you go out alone, you spend good time alone, you even get a haircut. Those are ways you can approve yourself, you take care of yourself and actually feel your own cup. Another thing nice guys need to do is make their needs priority. Nice guys really don't believe that they have needs. And even if they believe that they have needs, they believe it shouldn't be met because they are needy, they shouldn't have needs, things don't matter. And not having your needs met as a kid sends a wrong message to a kid. Like I mentioned earlier, it all comes from the childhood, how you were raised, being abandoned, or not having your needs met at a timely manner. So as a child, if you communicate that his needs don't matter, it's going to continue to harbor that at the back of his mind and try to appear needless or wantless to make sure he's loved and cared for by his family. Another thing that's so bad about nice guys is that they are terrible receivers because of the paradigm that has been created that you don't have needs and your needs shouldn't matter. Because of this, they have this mindset that I don't need to receive anything because I don't want anything, which is false. Everyone has needs and you should be able to open up to safe people to get your needs met in a healthy manner. And finally, to end this podcast episode, I'm going to talk about how nice guys can reclaim their personal power. And personal power is just a state of mind in which someone is confident that you can handle anything that life throws at you. You're not saying you're going to be perfect. You're not saying you have the power to overcome that thing, but you can handle it in a healthy manner. And it's also not an absence of fear. The first thing is surrendering. So surrendering simply means letting life happen. That's what surrendering means. It doesn't mean you are just going to lay down and not do anything. Surrendering is letting life go through its ebbs and flows and let it take you with you, but trusting that you'll be able to overcome what life has for you. Another thing is you should be able to dwell in reality. Because of how controlling nice guys are, they kind of create this own reality of, okay, this is who this person is, or this is how I believe people are, just to ensure that they stay safe. So I give an example of people can say, okay, this person is a toxic person, or for example, someone can say, all girls are toxic, all girls want your money, blah, blah, blah. Just because of that reality that they've created, they're keeping themselves safe and not being able to open up to have intimate relationships. So they have their own reality rather than actually living in a reality that life actually presents for you, but not creating stuff in your own head, if that makes sense. And also, they have to express their feelings. Feelings are just feelings at the end of the day. There's nothing bad in expressing your feelings. There's nothing bad in letting people know this is how you feel. There's nothing bad in saying this is what I want, this is what I need. Because one, it helps you get out of your own head. But two, it also makes you feel, know that whatever you're feeling is not going to kill you. It's just a feeling at the end of the day. It's just an emotion at the end of the day. Another thing is nice guys should face their fears. Nice guys are very fearful people. They believe that anything that they do has an everlasting consequence. By everlasting consequence, I mean, for me, for example, I moved cities. And this is just a personal example. I moved cities. I left Saskatoon and I moved to Toronto. And before I made the move, I tried to think about, okay, everything that could possibly go wrong. If I move, if I don't move, what's going to happen? But all this is just me being fearful, because even if I move and I don't like it, it's not the end of the world. But nice guys, and this is a trait of me that I have that I've worked on, that things don't have that everlasting consequence, I think it's going to happen. Another thing is that they should develop integrity. Integrity is one of the most important things you can have as a man, because it's just basically you being who you say you are, being a man of your word, being a man of that people can trust and can count on to say, okay, this is what this person is going to do, this is not what this person is going to do. And lastly, to reclaim their power, everyone can do this, to set boundaries. People talk about boundary setting every time, talk about setting boundaries, ensuring that your boundaries are not encroached upon. But ensuring that your boundaries are not encroached upon is very important, because it shows love for yourself, importantly, and it also dictates how people can actually treat you. So you're telling people, I'm not going to accept this no matter what. And if they hear that, if they see that, they respect you, they see that, okay, Shubomi set this boundary and I'm not going to cross it. So yeah, those are the different things that I have learned about this book. I hope you all actually read the book and actually do some of the breaking free activities in the book. I'll see you all next time in the next episode. Bye.